Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking about Turkey. Turkey, I mentioned it earlier on prophetically and talking about it. Understand that Turkey, I'll be having a map up where we can actually look at it and kind of figure out what that means. I talked about why in the world is our president giving the president of Turkey the Iron Dome. And we're going to be really, this is amazing what's taking place. And you're talking about the heart of the Ottoman Empire, I believe. You're talking about somebody who reportedly had his generals arrested because in his military and replaced them with generals who were loyal or are loyal to a caliphate versus loyal to the Constitution. Because every time somebody would try to push a caliphate, and caliphate basically just means, you know, the Quran, the Quran, the Islamic, you know, what Christians would say our Bible, they would say their Quran, that they actually believe that this is the breathed word of Allah, written by Muhammad, that should be the law. And that if it says put stop signs up, the caliphate says put stop signs up. If it says, you know, women don't have any rights in the Quran, then the caliphate would say women don't have any rights.
Yeah.
So that's when you say caliphate, what it means is you can actually find out what that law would be by reading the Quran. Well, every time we'll be talking about this, but every time, you know, based on reports that we're hearing, news reports, that every time they would push a caliphate around in Turkey and try to focus more and go more in regards to an Islamic leaning, then the people would rise up, the generals would rise up at the military and begin to defend the constitution of Egypt, of Turkey, I meant. Mm-hmm. What a great idea. Mm. Defend the constitution. Isn't that what happens, you know, to protect and defend the constitution? And so that was an issue in Turkey. And so now, based on some reports that we're hearing, they've actually, you know, he's arrested all those, put them in jail, replaced them with new or house arrest, and put new generals in place that are loyal more to that. And he's actually, we're going to talk about, obviously, I'm talking about a lot of it now, but it's much more. But he got into office by promoting a tyrannical view over people and against Israel. And
hatred for the Jews, right?
Yes, hatred towards the Jews, anti-Semitism, which means racism towards the Jews. And
imagine how that can get someone elected. You know,
yeah,
I mean, my goodness.
Hatred. And as a matter of fact, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King says, don't ever let a man push you low enough to hate them.
Mm.
You can see that today on our Facebook. But that just touched me because this man, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
This man. And yes, Dr. Avita King, we want to have you on VFN TV.
Yes.
We want to have you. I want to take that tour with you in Georgia. I want to hear, you know, more from you. And I really believe that you have the heart. The book that she just wrote is
King Rules.
King Rules. And it's based off, if you were going to march with Dr. King, you had to actually sign these 10 rules and say you agree to these 10 rules. Well, she took them and she began to dimensionally explain them in her book about and using her own family and understanding that. What does that really mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful, if you want to really find out about the King family, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., including the lineage and all these different things, it's a real good book to get. You can find out more about it on the VFN tour. We are going to go right into Vice President-elect Erdogan. He is the Vice President-elect, and he actually was the leader before he was Vice President-elect. You know, nothing like tyrannical leadership.
Yeah, for real.
Of Turkey. And he got in office based on his hatred of the Jews being anti-Semitic. You may have remembered, and we covered this, about the flotilla that came down into Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought a ship down, and they were saying, listen, there's a blockade. You can't bring this. These guys are trying to harm us. We need to know what's on that boat. And remember, and the whole world attacked Israel verbally. Not the whole world, but predominantly the media did. Not the whole world. But that's what the world sees.
Right.
And you see why Israel was doing that, because they were building tunnels with this concrete. They were getting missiles coming from Turkey. it appears. And according to some reports based on what took place in Libya, remember the embassy in Libya, when we lost our ambassador there, we lost a couple of brave heroes that were there, and it was blamed on a video, which wasn't, don't get too far into that. But it was said, reported, that what was going on down there, arms were being traded to Turkey there. That was a transition of getting weapons into Turkey from that embassy or something happening in Libya there.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are today. You're looking at, Syria has this civil war going on. You heard that to Syria.
100,000 plus people have been killed. 100,000 plus people have been killed in Syria.
Okay, turn my thing up. How many?
100,000 plus has been killed in Syria right now during this civil war, and it continues to grow. I mean, and many of them are Christians that are being killed.
Well, even if they're not even Christians, human beings are being killed, and it's like, does anybody care about, and that's where they took this one man's liver, cut it out of his body, and bit it on camera and put it up, because it's the fear. By the way, Satan's always about fear. And so this is very important what just took place, because now Turkey, which is the north of Syria, and Syria, remember, the bottom of Syria, and we'll talk about this, I'll show you the map, you have Lebanon and you have Israel. And to the east of that, you have Iraq, and you have all the things you just heard about, the Christians being on top of the mountains in Iraq, and you heard about this dam taking place at Mosul that the terrorists have. And if they bust this dam or don't maintain it, you're looking at flooding out all the way down to Baghdad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's like, wait a minute, this stuff's coming out of Turkey. This stuff is coming out of Turkey, it appears. First, let's go to the Jerusalem Post as they're reporting what took place in Turkey as the new president-elect Erdogan. Let's watch.
Erdogan secured his place in history as Turkey's first directly elected president on Sunday. The election takes him a step closer to what his opponents fear will be an increasingly authoritarian rule. Turkey's prime minister for more than a decade had won 52% of the vote, 13 points more than his closest rival, and avoiding the need for a second round runoff. Erdogan, who has been outspoken against Israel since it launched its offensive in Gaza, said in his victory speech that Turkey will be treating wounded Palestinians. He recently urged Turkey to push for Israel to be tried in an international criminal court if it kept up its assault on Gaza, and accused the Jewish state of surpassing Hitler with its Gaza operation.
And there it is. So now we have, according to the Jerusalem Post, of course, he gets into office based on his anti-Semitism. And that word is, that, to me, because we don't, it just means they're being racist towards Jews. They hate Jews because they're Jews. That they don't think that they should live because they're Jews. That they don't think they should have the land because they're Jews. I mean, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's called racism, by the way. And it's real weird because racist calls people who are not racist. And it's like, if you hate somebody because of their nationality, that's called racism.
Mm-hmm.
And hating a Jew because of his race is a racist. And the word's used anti-Semitism, but that's what that means. Mm-hmm. That means, and so you're looking at this, Erdogan gets into office, the history is being made. And remember, when you think about, wow, this old country, how in the world? Well, it's not really that old when you look at it, that it was actually the Ottoman Empire that got sliced up by Great Britain, and there's not a long history there in the context of this. You may have heard something about that with Dan Livingston, the director of CUFI in his area. But and so when you hear about Turkey, when you get in office because you hate Jews, if that's your thing, and at the same time you're looking at Christians being surrounded on a mountain in Iraq, northern Iraq, mind you, and you're looking at Syria, this ISIS coming down out of Syria, and it's coming into northern Iraq. As a matter of fact, I want you to take a look at this right now. I want you to look at this map, and I want you can see Turkey right here, and you look at my red mouse. I'm going to try to do this in regards to giving us all kind of a geographical lesson, I guess. But so you have Turkey that's right here. And it's the top part of the map right here. And right under Turkey, you have Syria. There's Syria. Now, notice to the east of Syria, you have Iraq. There's Baghdad. Remember all of our men and women. Many gave their lives. Mm-hmm. Many gave their limbs. Mm-hmm. And many gave family members for them to be able to have the freedom that's being squandered right now because of whatever bad policies. And so, and you're hearing in the news right now, you're hearing about in the northern mountains of Iraq, there are Christians, 15,000 of them, that were pushed up there by ISIS. Well, this is all happening in this particular region right here. But they're also talking about a dam that's right here in Mosul. Let me pull that up for you. And there's a dam that is blocking water that's flowing that produces electricity. And they're talking about busting this dam up as a terrorist, and it's going to come down and it's going to flood all the way down to Baghdad. Because you think, well, how can it flood? It's all desert.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all their development, all their housing, everything is on the side mm-hmm. of the river, because that's what you got to do to be able to have, you know, life. You got to have water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now I want you to come over here and look to the left a little bit. I'm going to slide the map over. And so you have Syria that's right here, and Syria is at civil war right now. Remember, this is Damascus. This right here in Damascus. Remember that Saul, which later became Paul in the New Testament, he was on the road to Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, he encountered God. Remember the bright light that appeared? And he said, mm-hmm. Lord, Lord, what do you have? And this was the road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. But also, this Damascus is the city that our president was talking about. We need to bomb Damascus. We need to bomb Damascus. When the big push was happening against the president of Syria,
Assad.
And remember, we talked about all the ships that were floating out here in the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of the military will tell you that we have to go on a med cruise.
Mm-hmm.
A med cruise is a cruise on a Navy ship in the Mediterranean Sea. They were actually patrolling the coast right here. They called it a med cruise. They would go 6 months in the med. And, of course, with the Suez Canal that's right down here at the bottom, that's where a large percentage of our oil comes from. Right here at the bottom, you're seeing the mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're patrolling, making sure those things stay open for whatever political reasons, you know, for us to have the oil. So you're looking at right now, you're looking at ISIS, and ISIS is all over Syria, but it's concentrated right here in the eastern part of Syria. It's in the northern part of Iraq. But let me show you something. In addition, they're right here. You see Turkey, you see Syria, and you see Lebanon. Mm. They're right here in Lebanon, which is also Hezbollah is there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're looking at Israel. Here you have Israel. Here's Jordan. And Jordan right now with a couple other kings just got together with the United Nations and tried to push Israel to be able to put themselves in a vulnerable area. Now, I'm showing you this because we got to learn our geography, because we're thinking quite often that, oh, that's way away, that's real far away. Well, you're looking at, you have Iran. Notice Iran. If you slide the map just a little bit over, you have Iraq right here. And then right next to Iraq is Iran. When they said Iran is the one that's supplying the Gaza Strip, which is right here in Israel, with these weapons, with these weaponization, they're the ones doing that. They said the reports on the side of their products, it
cargo
says
boxes, right?
Yeah, it just says Iran in it. And when you look right here as well in Iran, you see Iran to Israel. There's Israel, and put the mouse back over here to Iran. They are developing a nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Our Secretary of State John Kerry is saying that we need to, you know, work this out. You know, mm-hmm. I can see they could reasonably have some nuclear power.
Right.
And the truth is, they're openly saying we're going to go for weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if 10,000 rockets have already fired from Gaza, which is right here by Gaza, into Israel over and over again, if you want to read about southern Israel and these kind of things happening, Ashkelon and all that, just go to the book of Amos and read about it. It talks about these particular areas. Well, they're already supplying them with rockets, and Turkey is supplying them with rockets. Let me get this map here. Turkey supplies them with rockets. Iran supplies them with rockets. ISIS, which is up here in Syria and Iraq, is wanting to push Israel into the sea along with the others. This is a pretty dangerous territory.
And not to mention that reportedly there's about 100,000 rockets in Lebanon ready and aimed at Israel as well.
Right. And, you know, Pat and I were there on the northern borders looking at the guards over in the northern border there. So now we're looking at Turkey one more time, understanding that. So when they're basically, when any of these countries are talking about harming Israel, you have to understand these are next door neighbors.
Yeah.
They're next door neighbors. And if 10,000 rockets can come from Gaza into Israel, one nuclear rocket can easily come from Iran. Or they can actually get their particular nuclear product over here to Gaza and through a flotilla coming from Turkey. Mm-hmm. That's how simple it is. And he got into power based on the Jerusalem Post, based on his hatred, Erdogan, because of his hatred towards Israel is how he got there. And so I wanted to kind of give you a quick little history lesson to understand, or a geography lesson to understand, no matter what people are telling you, this, we have these borders that are over here, but what that really is just short distances away from each other. But notice one thing. I want you to go back to this map one more time, and I want you to see this. Notice that all these large Iran, you got Iran over here, this is Iran, and then over here you have Iraq, then you have Syria, then you have Jordan. Notice this little slither of land right here. When you zoom out a little bit on the map, this little piece of land right here,
wow,
that is Israel. This is Egypt. This is Libya, where they were taking those weapons, supposedly, reportedly, to Turkey. This is Saudi Arabia, who's cranking up a notch right now, and that's where Mecca is located in Saudi Arabia. This is Iraq, Iran. This is Afghanistan. You remember the Afghanistan war that was going on? This is Pakistan, where also part of the colonization of Great Britain, but they actually have nuclear power. They have nuclear weapons there, I meant. And so does India.
So does India, that's right.
And so when you're looking at this whole thing, is just volatile, totally volatile in regards to what is taking place. And we've got to pay close attention to. We're going to go to a break, but I wanted to understand that when you're looking at Turkey here, that is like the head of the snake, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's amazing that things are being built up against Israel. But I want to revisit a particular prophetic word about 7 months and 7 years, and it's going to encourage you knowing that God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He keeps his eye on Israel, and he will protect Israel. I really hope we just had some sort of, you know, geography lesson, kind of understanding how close these things are. And I don't know how a dictator gets elected, but a dictator just got elected. And it seems to be, you know, some reports are being, and I can't tell you the source of it, not because it's not a source, but just so much information is coming our way. But some people are saying they're modeling themselves after America, how America is now, where you can, you know, say you're a democracy, but yet you could still bypass the laws and all that. And if you haven't yet listened to, you can go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, and under series, there's a citizenship test. We have a real fun time, you know, in taking it and joking around about it. But to be really, really surprised how we don't even know what it is, what it means to be an American, but yet we're holding these folks accountable who are coming over, and they actually know more about America than American citizens know about America.
Sad to say.
Because you've got to be able to pass the test. But one thing in that test, it reminds us that America is a land of laws. It's a land of laws that the whole point, how we survive, is that we have these laws and we stay within the context of those laws called the U.S. Constitution. And without that, then we're no longer, the word constitution means what holds you together. Mm-hmm. So it means you're not held together anymore. Us not understanding that, somebody says, well, you can just do without the Constitution and still have America. You can't, because the president, the Congress, the judiciary, the military, citizens coming, and it used to be the American citizens, would all pledge allegiance to the Constitution and to the flag. And we'll be having a whole program just, you know, on that in the future. But what you're seeing with Erdogan, you're looking at somebody, they're calling it a democracy, I believe. And so many seemingly dictators are using the word democracy. It's almost like stealing the narrative. And America is a democracy that has a representative government, which means you actually decide who, as a citizen, you have the right to vote. That's in the citizenship test. And you also have the right to pay taxes. That's in there. And you choose who you want to represent you. They go and to your state capital, or they go to your go to Washington, D.C., and find out what's going on. And they come back and they report to you. I know, but this is what it's supposed to work. They represent you. They come back and have a town meeting and they say, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. And probably the healthcare, when you saw the healthcare issue hit America and people were having these town hall meetings, that's actually how it's supposed to work. The difference is I don't think they listen to the to the people, but that's what's supposed to happen. They're supposed to come back and talk and figure out, how do I represent you? Mm-hmm. And then they go back to D.C. or go back to your capital, your state, and they vote the way your district went. And so it's a government by the people and for the people. Now, that is a democracy and representative government. So how can you actually be a tyrant or a dictator and say that you're a democracy? Well, you can do that by just changing vocabularies, you know, stealing the vocabulary and just say, this dictatorship is now a democracy, which you can do that, by the way. If you're a dictator, you can actually do that. But in America, it's not that way. And so when you think about what's taking place as we speak with all the Muslim nations, its leaders, not its people. By the way, we have a lot of our audience, you know, it is in the Middle East, and a lot of the young folks there, they're not into all this. These are tyrants trying to rule a nation. This is sects that are trying to get their agenda pushed and all this kind of stuff. But if you pull out the people that's not really supporting that, even though you have to do it because you're oppressed, you'd be really surprised how few would be left. Because when you're a dictatorship, it's like you and your family run the country and everybody else does what you say. But if that's true, then if people have an alternative country to go to, which we notice they do come to America, then they come to it. Well, which I'm trying to say that a lot of our audience, they're not into that. They're typical, young folks that just, you know, are trying to live their life and trying to survive it. But notice they're trying to organize 21, 22 Arab nations, the Arab League nations, which is how many million Muslims?
There's a billion.
Well, no, that's the faith. But in regards to the Arab League, and understand I'm talking about the ones who are radicalized that would come and organize against, they're trying to get them all moving in a direction. And people say, well, they're not saying Israel. Well, you have to understand Alinsky 101, that you don't ever organize people around the ultimate issue. You first get them moving in a direction, something that will get them going. And right now, they are actually built a Saudis, I believe. Some reports are saying that they're willing to work with Iran now. And Iran's willing to even work with supposedly Israel to deal with Gaza. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is Saul Alinsky's methodologies, because now all of a sudden people are finally coagulating and coming together to be able to just do something as a group.
Yeah.
And people say, well, this is great, but you have to understand how Saul Alinsky works. Is that is not the goal. The goal is, how do you mobilize the Arab League? How do you mobilize these Muslim nations, moving them in a direction, and then unite them suddenly with a cause that they would move on? What can unite, you know, these radical aspects?
It's 340 billion, by the way. You wanted that number. That
billion?
Number. 340 million.
Million people in the Arab League.
340 million, not billion.
Million.
Not billion.
Million with an M.
Okay, yeah. It's like, whoa, we got to go check this out. And Israel has 12 million, by the way. So they are getting everybody mobilized, and you're watching. Everybody's going, "That's a great idea. Yeah, we got to deal with Gaza." And they created a, you know, don't waste the crisis. You got to seize the opportunity in the lifetime. The opportunity is, as the former chief of staff would say, but now he's the mayor of Chicago. And don't let a crisis, good crisis, go to waste. Is what he said. Yeah. And so they create this crisis that's been created in Syria, ISIS, northern Iraq, Syria, Turkey, Gaza, and West Bank. And that's that lesson I gave you. So these crises is going on. And so they're saying, you know, we got to work together to resolve this crisis. And all of a sudden, you know, people buy into it. Now they're moving as one army, one unit. And all of a sudden this is now they're going, now they understand how powerful they are. Now their ultimate goal, their one thing they want to do the most, the one thing that will unite them and fulfill our agenda is this. What can unite the entire Arab League? Hatred towards Israel. wanting to remove Israel from the face of the earth, wanting to push them in the sea. And suddenly, they're going to try to push, they're trying to launch all these folks unsuccessfully against Israel. That's the ultimate thing, which means don't buy into this peace thing going on where you're thinking that it's okay for people that, I mean, look at the progression. Always follow the progression. Follow how this begat that begat this begat that. And realize that if a president gets into office, the president of Turkey I'm talking about, based on his hatred of Israel, and we've sent them the Iron Dome. So the same Iron Dome system that Israel credits the United States for working with them, protecting them from these rockets, we gave the same thing to the person that hates Israel.
Yeah.
Which means if Israel starts to defend herself from the president, President Erdogan in Turkey, and they fire missiles to protect them, unlike Gaza, I mean, think about it. The whole narrative has been painted. You know, Gaza couldn't defend themselves, although they fired 10,000 rockets. Israel's just trying to remove Hamas from there. They care about the Palestinian people. They're feeding the Palestinian. They're educating the Palestinian people. And but they create this whole narrative. So now, all of a sudden, when an attack comes from the north and comes from President Erdogan from Turkey, who got there based on his hatred towards Israel, then people will buy into that narrative and say, now we have an Iron Dome. You used the Iron Dome, and you protected yourself. Now we're going to protect ourselves against you. And none of the defenses, they think, can that Israel would have to be able to defend herself, then she couldn't defend herself from what was taking place coming from the north, from Turkey and Syria and Lebanon. Remember, ISIS is in Lebanon, which is right there on the northern border of Israel, which is smaller than the state of New Jersey, which is 70 miles wide at its widest point, and which just proves the awesomeness of God. It's like, you can't take this little patch of land out? You know, yeah. It just proves God. I mean,
that's right.
People, you know, you don't have to worry about Israel. Israel's going to be protected by God.
Believe that.
But it just shouts, God is alive, you know. It shouts that God is not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that changes his mind. The promise that he made to Abraham still stands today. To Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. It still stands today. This is so powerful. And it's like all these kings conspire against God. And they ask the question, why do they conspire against you, God? And God says in his word, you know, prophetically speaking from Proverbs, he says, he just laughs. He just laughs at this whole, you know, men thinking they can conspire against him. But this is what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about Ezekiel 38 and 39, because he talks prophetically about this, that there would be a day that all the nations around Israel would gather against her and they would come to destroy her. And God's going to do something about it. And it's going to take 7 months to bury the bodies, and 7 years to burn the weapons of those who come against Israel. We're talking about this prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39. And we talked about it earlier around April when the president was creating an urgency. I mean, it was just this intense urgency. Secretary of State John Kerry came on. You know, I shared about a prophetic encounter the Lord gave me about John Kerry, that when he would speak, and so all of the Arab League was getting together saying, listen, we need to deal with, the reports are the Arab League was getting together that we need to deal with Syria. We need to deal with President Assad. We need to be able to take him out. Our president's actually saying, you know, you take this guy out.
Red line was drawn.
Yeah, red line was drawn. All this stuff was being said, and, you know, we're going to bomb Damascus. We had Russian ships floating out there in the Mediterranean. We had our ships floating out there in that particular area. And the reports are the Arab League was saying, America, if you will go in there and deal with President Assad, we'll pay for it. We'll write the check for it. So it wasn't a financial thing. They said, we'll pay for this. But instead of that being done, the reports are that our president said, I'll tell you what. President Putin, here, I'll just give you the football.
Yeah.
And he gave the leadership of the Arab League, 21, 22 Muslim nations, 300 million Muslims. And, of course, they're not being led by anyone. But in regards to we didn't take that lead when they offered that to us. Mm-hmm. But if you're not following God, you know. Mm-hmm. And so here we are. We passed that football off to the president, the prince of Gog, you know, the northern prince.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about prophecy here in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39. When you look at this, Gog and Magog, you're talking about Russia and you're talking about Iran. That's what you're talking about. You're talking about Russia and Iran. Isn't it amazing? Amazing today that you have Russia has a military base right there in Syria. They were not going to let, they didn't want to vote for America to come in and bomb, you know, Assad. And so then you go over to Iran, who was working on military, nuclear weapons. And according to Pat Robinson, prophetic word we loosed at the beginning of this year was by the end of this year, they will have it, nuclear weapons, that they're being supplied by Russia. And it's like Russia is the one that's really pushing this thing through Iran into Gaza to create the tensions that are going on right there. And it's like, but we gave the leadership to the Arab League to President Putin. Mm. And then we back up to the DNC, the Democratic National Convention. And we have all this for you on the VFN Torch. And this is our president. This is where we're choosing our president. You know, there was two, RNC and DNC, that was going on that particular time. And what's really strange was that behind the speakers at the Democratic National Convention, there was this huge screen up there of a military fleet behind the speakers. And this military fleet was President Putin's, and now President Putin's Navy. That was not the United States Navy behind our choices of who was going to be the president of the United States. That was the Russian. That was Putin's Navy. Hmm. You don't make mistakes. You don't make mistakes. I mean, you know, whatever your goal is, whatever your reason is, you know, we're talking a biblical viewpoint. What is going on scripturally? We're not into politics and all that. We're just saying, my goodness, that means then the Prince of Gog, the Prince of Gog's military navy was behind our speakers when they were choosing who was going to be our president. At the same time, while that whole situation was going, let's bomb Damascus that's in Syria. Let's bomb Damascus, which is in Syria. Remember, over and over again, let's bomb Damascus. Let's draw the red line. That same Russian Navy was floating outside of in the Mediterranean, right outside Syria, right outside of Israel. And then all of a sudden, this attention was increased, and all of a sudden, the world was focused on it. And then all of a sudden, just like Saul Alinsky says, target, you know, polarize, do these different methods, and you can see more about that on the VFN Torch. All of a sudden, they just turned and handed this football off to Vladimir. I'll have more flexibility after the election.
I'll transmit
that to Vladimir. And he passed that football off to Gog. And we're not talking politics. Listen, it has nothing to do with politics. We're talking about prophecy. That was a prophet. This whole thing is like, what's going on in the world right now? Well, it looks like right now we're very close to potentially, not necessarily end times in regards to that, but this is Ezekiel 38 and 39 when all these nations come against Israel. And God shows himself mighty and destroys the enemies of Israel. And it takes Israel 7 months. Imagine that, 7 months to bury the dead. And look at the murder and mayhem right now coming out of ISIS and how the death. And it's like, it's 7 months to bury the bodies. And 7 years to burn the weapons. So you're looking at all these chemical weapons. You're looking at all these nuclear grade type weapons. They probably won't burn those. They have to do something else with those. But it just totally, we're like at that one moment in time, which means to the Gentile, which means the non-Jew, that I want to tell you that our day is coming to a head here, because once the full number of the Gentiles are in, then the Jews are going to be, their eyes are going to be, you know, there are just being saved now, Messianic believers, and that's totally awesome. But just this veil will be lifted where they're going to totally see, you know, Yeshua, the Messiah. They're going to see Jesus as who he is. And you're looking at a rapid wrap up of what's going on. And things happen very quickly. And I like the way Megiddo, the movie Megiddo, that was put together by Paul Crouch's son, who's now has the station. I think he's running a TBN now, but it's way back when. But it went from the movie was the whole movie was about, you know, this thing's happening. But it was the last 5 seconds of the movie where it went boom, 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 and it was over. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think, well, this will happen, then you'll have all this time, and then this will happen, you'll have all this time. What happens is like a crescendo. Things just start building and building and building and building, and it comes to an end. And so right now it looks like that Putin is orchestrating through Ukraine. He's got 100 humanitarian ships coming in right now.
Wow.
100 humanitarian trucks coming into the Ukraine, saying he's delivering food, but he won't let the Ukrainians inspect them. You know, and it's like, you can't bring that truck into our country without us looking what's in that truck. Turkey got in. The president's getting in by hatred towards Israel. You have people that are really buying the, you heard us talk about it. We had the rally, Stand Up for Israel rally. Some of the, you know, they just didn't know what was going on as we helped explain what was going on, but they really believe the narratives that are being said. I mean, things are being set up for the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Which this is very important because I talked about this on a previous program. The whole world, we're all going to be judged on based on what we did with Israel in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. We're going to be gathered. And what do we do with Israel? What do we do with the land? Did we divide up the land? This is, believe it or not, this is of God in regards to our perspective. I mean, he's not, nobody's pulling one over on God, but he's finding out where you are in this. He's looking at your heart. Are you thinking about your 2 cents, your dollars, your 401k, your house, your land, your country, your world? Are you thinking about what God said? Are you standing up for Israel? Are you standing up for Israel? Are you boldly standing up for the apple of my eye? Are you watching and telling your leaders, because this is a government by the people and for the people, so you choose leaders that say, I will not divide the land of Israel. I will stand with Israel. And you can say something. You can call your congressperson. You can call your senator. You can call, notify your president. You can call your governors. You can say, listen, stand for Israel. And one exciting thing to know about is that the legislation that was just passed in Florida, that they agreed that they were going to stand, Florida's going to stand with Israel. And you can do that in your own state. And I know we don't have a lot of time with this program, but understand this. That you personally can stand up for what's right with God, and God will, you know, bless you and protect you. Your community can do it, and God will protect your community. Your state can do it, and God will separate you outside the other states, and all of a sudden, God will bless your state. And our nation can do that, and God will bless our nation. Let's begin to stand up and say, Israel, you're not alone. We do see the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39 potentially being on the corner. We do see anybody getting into office because of their hatred towards Israel and friends with those who hate Israel is not on the side of God. And we have to say, dear Lord, give us leadership that will have your heart. Give us leadership that will stand up for Israel and for your people and for the human race. We ask it in Jesus' name. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.